So there's a difference between meeting casually as friends, praying, preaching, whatever, Bible study, and coming together into one place. I believe, again, I point to you, my brother, that in Corinthians, I believe that there are seven places. I didn't prepare that for study today. But I believe there are seven places in Corinthians when they came together into one place. And so we can trace it through Corinthians. And so there's a difference between casual meeting and meeting together as an assembly with the character and the discipline.
Amen.
You know, you may have a problem with your brother, but you can't excommunicate your brother. But in the assembly, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, that is different than a club. You can have a Christian club at a Christian college.
Yeah.
But you would not invoke 1 Corinthians chapter 5 in a Christian club of even 300. But you have an assembly.
That's an assembly meeting, 1 Corinthians 5, to deal with discipline.
Right. There's a different character for the assembly than just a Christian club or a Christian fellowship or something along those lines. So it's very different. In Acts chapter 16, verse 13, there is something that is very unusual. And it's not an assembly. But there's a principle here, and maybe my brethren would either agree to it or say I'm all wet. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13, I see a little principle here that we learn a little lesson. On the Sabbath day...
Acts or 1 Corinthians?
I'm sorry, Acts. Acts chapter 16. I apologize. Verse 13. Now here are some of the apostles. They're traveling from place to place. This is the Apostle Paul, I believe, and some others. On verse 13, verse 11 for connection. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. A little principle, I know this was not an assembly. They didn't find an assembly. But the point I'm trying to make is this. Something was accustomed to happen there. And the principle is this. When an assembly is formed, people are saved, they begin to meet as an assembly, it is something which is a regular occurrence. Mm-hmm. Something is wont to be made. And so I just bring that out as a little tidbit, as an example of an illustration, perhaps, of an assembly.
Well, that's seen also in Acts chapter 20.
Yeah.
And not the tidbit, it's the reality, where the Apostle Paul, they were going to go there for 5 days,
mm-hmm.
but they decided to stay 7 days, and on the first day of the week, they broke bread. So it could have easily been, well, let's break bread on the way to the next stop. But I think the Apostle Paul had the understanding of a place of testimony is connected with the gathering.
Mm-hmm. Acts chapter 20 is a pattern. They broke bread from house to house in the early church, but now Acts 20, the pattern's established by the first day of the week when the saints are gathered together to do what? To break bread.
I got a question, and it relates to the fact that...
There's a question behind us. That's second.
So it sounds like this place that we're talking about has to be divine, in the sense that it has to be... the people have to come together that are part of the universal assembly to make that place divine because the Lord is moving in that. Mm-hmm. So, in the Lord in those areas for those assemblies to form.
Yeah. Yes.
Going along with that, I'm wondering if part of it is, as we mentioned, the testimony to the unsaved, that obviously this is a message we should be proclaiming the gospel so that the unsaved hear the gospel, and if they, you know, let's say in the day of judgment, there was a testimony there that you ignored. I just wonder if that is also part of it, that yes, there's a public testimony. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 11, with regard to the supper, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim. My understanding there is that you're declaring the Lord's death till he come. So you're basically showing it forth to everybody. Every Sunday, basically, we are telling the world, he died on the cross. It's a message that's going out. So it needs to be a testimony, a public testimony for the world to know.
And we're not saying it could be a house, but yes, it's a place of testimony.
Yes, yes.
But the other part of 1 Corinthians is really just in 1 Corinthians 14. If anyone shall walk in and he hears you talking in tongues, they will say, what kind of mumbling is this? Is God here? So you have somebody who is familiar that's a place of testimony, that who might walk in while we are gathered together. So there are other portions, as you have suggested, Brother Sam, that will indicate to us that the place of gathering is also and need be the place of testimony.
And there is no sanctuary on earth today. The cave, the house, this rented hall, another building that we meet in, is just for the convenience, the safety, the comfort of the saints. There's no building on earth today where God lives in that building.
God dwells not in temples made with hands.
Amen.
Right. There's no sanctuary on earth today.
Well, I guess it comes back to, if the place is divine, that means that the Lord has to have some aspect over it. Right? So the building does become important. Or the location where the building is becomes important, or the house, or the tent, or whatever it happens to be. Because it's that particular spot that the Lord has moved people to gather.
But what makes that place divine is the divine presence of the divine person. We got to remember, like in Christendom today, they'll look at a building as a divine shrine, a temple, a sanctuary. And I think in many times we might even find it in our own selves that we've looked at our building and really have made this building. But if tomorrow the Lord allows that building to burn, the assembly goes on.
Amen.
It may now meet in a basement. So it's the divine presence. You think of when Moses met the Lord on that mountain. He says, take off your shoes for where you sit, stand. It's holy ground. Yet God is everywhere, as we said earlier. But if he's in the presence, I mean, even Jacob, somebody mentioned him earlier. This is a terrible place. This is the house of God. It's the divine person that makes that place a divine place, and not the other way around.
But I think we're coming full circle to the whole, what makes the place divine if you have two or three people gathered to the Lord, and he's moved them to gather in that way.
Yeah.
That becomes divine. So if the building is unimportant and it's more about the people, then we really are back full circle that it is, the place is irrelevant.